yeah, so I'll just want to open us up in prayer. Okay, if you pray with me, Lord, we're so thankful to be here gathered, and it's a special unity that you bring us into in this journey with you, in this faith, and what a gift that people from across the world, different countries, no matter where we are, Lord, that we are brothers and sisters in you. And we're grateful for your spirit that unites us and that brings us together, Lord. And I just pray that today you prepare our hearts, Lord, that your word would speak to us, and we would not take this community for granted and this gathering for granted, God, and that we would leave here looking, acting, speaking, thinking more like you, Jesus. And so we thank you and just pray that you'd open our hearts, prepare our hearts, whatever's on our minds, whatever we're thinking about, the worries or the anxieties, God, that you would calm them, and that for these few minutes you would just help us to be here, be present, and hear what you have to say to us, Lord. So we're grateful, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I heard you guys were going through Mark, and it would have been nice to kind of, if I had some time to go along with that, but I am going to be in the book of Psalms today, so it's something a little different, so don't get mad at me, but I pray that it would speak to you and maybe be a nice little break or something different this week. So our text today is going to be in Psalm 63, if you want to open up to that. And something that's been on my heart lately, and we had a lot of time with Reuben and the groom party to encourage Reuben over the past few days and speak to him. And we were talking a lot about a certain text in Matthew 22 where the religious leaders asked Jesus pretty much, what's the most important command? I mean, what's the most important thing? And Jesus answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal, right? Jesus said this was paramount. This was crucial. This was the big picture, the real big deal, right? Loving God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds. And that's been going around in my mind, and it really begs me to think and ask myself, is this the biggest thing to me, right? Is this most important to me? Am I living my life? Am I walking with Christ with that on top, right? Is that with that as number one? And looking today in our text in Psalm 63, kind of as we go through this and as we see what the text is all about and look into it, I want you to keep that in mind and look for the practical of how David walks this out, right? How he really lives this and exercises this. And I think there's a lot we can take from this as far as the practical how, right? The how do I do that, right? How do I love God with everything that I am, right? And how do I continue in that? And so I just want us to keep that in mind as we look at this, as we look at this text this morning. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, right? And I know I'm not the only one here who wants to be close to God, amen, right? And the scripture literally says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I want to be as close to God as I can be, right? So I'm that person. How? Like all the time, like, Lord, how can I be close to you? How can I be closer to you? How can I continue in drawing near, right? Drawing near. And so I titled this message, Drawing Near. In Jeremiah 29, God said, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So we want to be people, right? Jesus said, if you'd find me, right, seek me with all that you are, love me with all that you are. And so, again, as I said, as we're going through this, consider that practical. We're going to be looking at the how, right? How do we do that as we go through? So really answering that question, you know, how can I maintain this intimacy with the Lord, and how can I grow in that and really walk that out? So a little bit of context, right? The title of this psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And most commentators believe that the 61st, 62nd, 63rd psalm were written when David was seeking refuge during Absalom's rebellion. And so we see this in 2 Samuel, and you can kind of follow along in that book as well. But this was a crazy time for David, and his quiet confidence really expressed in this text that we're about to read really parallels his actions that we see in 2 Samuel in that account. So it's super cool because you can see his actions in the one book, and then here you can see that his heart really matched what he was doing, right? And we see the reasons for his actions, because our beliefs, right, usually dictate our actions. What we find true in our hearts and the things we're focusing on our mind tend to be the way we walk and the way we live our lives. So that's really cool. If you want to, you know, maybe after this at some point, go check out 2 Samuel and see that parallel. But my point there is that, in other words, you know, he didn't just voice these things, but his actions prove that everything he says here and everything he cries out really meant something to him, right? So it's almost like a backup proving, you know, what he said, he meant it. So super awesome. So I'm going to start in verse 1, Psalm 63, and he says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." So I want to stop there for a second, kind of break it up into sections. But first, so really picture this, right? Get a little bit of context. Imagine David is literally running from Absalom and his army, right? And running for his life, hiding in the desert. And it's hard for us this morning in this nice little church, right, to picture us in that situation. But if we can, right, it's gonna help bring a lot of truth to what he's saying here, right? And so he's really running for his life, literally, in this text. And you can just imagine an intense loneliness in David's heart, right? And the first big thing here is that we see his priority under pressure, okay? We see that his priority is to seek God. He says, "My God," right? And possession will breed desire, right? Full assurance is no hindrance to diligence, but it is really the mainspring of it. So him being sure that God is his hope, that God is his anchor, holds him in a time when life is crazy, right? And everything's falling apart. Where is his priority? "Oh God, you are my God." If I was in that situation, you know, I don't know if that would be my first response. I think I would be thinking, okay, like, how can I get through this? How am I going to survive this? But he says, he goes straight to the Lord. He says, "God, you're my God." And he seeks the Lord. So we see that his assurance it brings that diligence, right? And brings that importance. So I wanted to throw this in there, a little bit of commentary from Spurgeon on this text. He said, Spurgeon wrote, "There was no desert in David's heart, though there was a desert around him. We too may expect to be cast into rough places ere we go hence. In such seasons, may the eternal Comforter abide with us and cause us to bless the Lord at all times, making even the solitary place to become a temple for Jehovah." That's so good, isn't it? And the question is, do we desire Jesus in that similar way? Am I desiring Christ like that? I mean, what a passionate, real desire, right? And a true, you know, that we see in David, right? Am I longing for him? Do I seek him early, right? The text says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." And it just begs us the question, can I relate with that? Can I relate with David's cry for the Lord here in this text? Who do I run to, right? When everything is crazy in life, ask yourself, what's my natural response? I need more coffee. I need a certain person. I need this. I need that. Is Christ the one that is our solid ground, our foundation, the one that will hold us, right? That we trust, that we run to. Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." So that's the question. You know, am I just going through the motions? Am I just doing a daily devotion? Daily devotional, or you know, I checked off the box, I pray, I did my 5 minutes of prayer, or am I really seeking God? Is this a pursuit that I'm after because of a true love and a genuine realization of the salvation that I've been given in this relationship with God, right? Do I love God? Something God has really ministered to me. I'm 25 and I've never had a girlfriend, and until now, and I've been dating my beautiful girlfriend, who's up here in the front, and she's gonna be mad at me for calling her out. But we've been dating now for 9 months, and I do not have to know. You know, I don't have to be reminded to love her. I don't have to think, okay, how do I? I need to force myself, right? Like it's natural because it's out of love, right? I want to serve her. I want to be the best I can be for her. And it's the same way with Christ, right? If we're trying to force a love for the Lord, we're missing who Jesus really is, amen? Because his love for us is so great that it compels us to, this is my life, God. I need you. You're all I want. I am all here for you, right? And so, as we're going through this, right, put yourself in David's shoes and ask yourself, is this what I'm seeking? Is this the cry of my heart for you, Christ, just as David was crying to the Lord. We know what Scripture says about being half in and half out, right? The lukewarm church, and right, it's better to be cold than be warm, right? Nobody likes somebody that's halfway, you know, and I've struggled with that at times. I've struggled with being half good at five things and never really honing in on one, right? And with the Lord, he doesn't want half of us. He doesn't want our Sunday mornings. He doesn't want our time. He just wants us, right? He wants all of us. Those of you that showered today, I assume that's a thing on the island, I don't know. But those of you that showered today, you probably didn't shower halfway, right? You showered your whole body. Or if you brush your teeth in the morning, you probably didn't brush half your teeth. Just the top, I don't know. I'm starting to see Tim Hortons or Timmy's, a pretty big thing in Canada. You probably, if you stopped to get a donut today, probably didn't eat half the donut. You probably ate the whole thing, right? And why would our walk with the Lord, would we be halfway? We're not halfway with those things. Why would we, the most important pursuit of our lives, the most important picture of our lives, why would we not be all in, right? And that's Christ's call. Either you're here or you're not, right? And so that really encouraged me. That really encouraged me. So moving on, verse 3. We'll read 3 through 5. It says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. The Hebrew translation here for the first part where he says, because your loving kindness is better than life, the Hebrew translation for that word loving kindness is hesed. And it's found 250 times in the Old Testament, and it's literally translated love and faithfulness, unfailing love, faithful love, steadfast love, loyal love, and hesed describes a sense of love and loyalty that inspires merciful and compassionate behavior toward another person. And I love that translation because it brings so much truth to that. You know, David's saying, because your loving kindness is better than life. How true is that, right? The loving kindness of our Lord, he said, is better than life. It didn't matter whether he lived, whether he died in this moment. He said, out of all the glories and riches and blessings of my life, God, you are better than life. You're better than life. And really, we can relate those that know Christ, those that have a relationship with Jesus, an honest encounter with the Lord brings, in God's grace, brings that genuine love and devotion out of us. I got saved when I was 15 years old and met the Lord right before high school, and I've had my times where I've tried to walk away from God, or I've had seasons, but I could turn my back, but I could never run from God, right? The moment he has your heart, you can't walk away. You know, you can't you can't. Once you've really met the Lord, I mean, we think of Paul, right, and his transformation. There's a change that, you know, you're never the same, you know. And so here in this text, another encouragement that we see is the lesson of discipline. The lesson of discipline here, right? Distance from discipline can be very dangerous for us. We know this in life. There's a reason in general life we have to be people who are disciplined, and especially when it comes to our walk with the Lord, right? If we're people who are often experiencing, or even now sometimes, you know, often experiencing dry seasons in our walk with Christ, it could mean that, you know, we need to ask ourselves, am I making it a discipline to spend time with God early in the morning, regularly? Am I saying, okay, Lord, I might not feel like I have days, you know, of course, where the last thing I want to do is open my Bible, right? But you make that a discipline because you know I need it, right? And you build that relationship. I'm learning in my relationship with my girlfriend, you make things a discipline because, you know, sure, sometimes you might feel like doing the right things, but you're not always going to feel like it. And if we just follow our feelings, right, that relationship's not going to be cultivated, and that relationship's not going to be fruitful, right? And so a huge part of love and relationship in our relationships on earth and with our relationship with Christ is discipline and choosing the things that don't always feel great, or choosing things we're not always naturally like, yeah, I can't wait to do that, you know, but it's the small things that build that discipline and devotion. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the reality is, if we are not constantly, intentionally putting truth into our minds, taking our thoughts captive, right, making them obedient to Christ, as Paul said, I almost think it was like a river, right, and you are swimming upstream. We live in a world that's flowing one way, and if we're not constantly combating that, right, you know, the battle we face is spiritual, right, if we're not constantly filling that with time with the Lord, time in prayer, time in his word, we're not just even sitting stale and idle, we are moving backwards. So the battle of the mind is so important, and filling our minds with truth is so important, and not being conformed, right? That's the only way, that's the way God made it, not to be, for us not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, right? But to be transformed, and it's a continual transformation and sanctification until the day that we see him face to face, whether that's the day he comes or the day we die. But until then, it's a discipline. It's a journey with the Lord. Amen? And so that's the question this text makes me ask myself. Am I being continually transformed? Am I taking steps towards that? Is my heart similar to David's heart and saying, I actually desire you, Lord. I actually need you. I actually, in times of pain and distress and worry, I go to you, right? And so I encourage you, even now, if you're going through that season that David found himself in, or the next time you face something, see where you run to, right? Naturally say, okay, where am I running to? And is it Christ? And if it's not, question that. You know, what am I leaning on? What am I relying on? And is it the sure, strong foundation of Christ and the one that will uphold me? And notice David said here, he said, thus I will bless you while I live, while I'm alive. Who's alive here today? We're all alive. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm concerned. We're all alive, right? So while I live, we have a good enough reason to bless the Lord. He said, while I live. And we're all, that's all of us here, right? And his praise wasn't dependent on his emotions, or his blessings, or his circumstances, or his feelings. Why? Because he saw God and he treasured him, right? He was enough. And are we satisfied in the Lord? Is he enough for us? Another Spurgeon quote on this, he said, even when our heart is rather desiring than enjoying, we should still continue to magnify the Most High. For his love is truly precious, even if we do not personally, for the time being, happen to be rejoicing in it. We ought not to make our praises of God to depend upon our own personal and present reception of benefits. This would be mere selfishness. Even publicans and sinners have a good word for those whose hands are enriching them with gifts. It is the true believer only who will bless the Lord when he takes away his gifts or hides his face. So good. Verse 6 through 8, moving right forward. Hopefully this isn't too short or too long. I don't know what you guys are used to here. It says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. He said, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. So how much of my thought, right? How much of my thought, time, and meditation is focused on God? David said, he genuinely thought, right? There is not enough time in the day to worship you, Lord. Not enough hours to think and meditate on your goodness and your grace. And how many times is that us, or are we kind of thinking like, okay, here's 10 minutes, Lord, here's a few minutes before I go to sleep. Okay, I gotta spend some time with you. David thought, I don't have enough time in the day to spend with you. I need you, Lord, every moment. And that just really speaks to me. I think of the verse, I forget the exact verse, but where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it says, in everything by prayer and supplication. Are we living like that in everything? David said, I don't have enough time to spend with you, God. I don't have enough time in the day. And sometimes we're like, oh, I have to do that. You know, question my heart. It makes me question my heart. Is my relationship with the Lord as it should be? If I'm having to force myself, you know what I mean? Is it a true love? Is it a genuine love like David had here? Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right? In the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice, David said. And that's where we stand, right? In the arm of our gracious Father, right? He's upholding us. And David saw that. And that's the challenge. Do we realize who we are in Christ? Do I really trust God to protect me? That he has my best in mind, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it? Is my fear and concern in what everybody thinks or says about me, or how I'm going to deal with that, or is my devotion and concern the Lord and the things of God and what He says and what He has for me in the calling He's placed on my life? Is that my obedience? Is that my focus? Romans 8:31 said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And what a powerful truth. And then where David said, he said, my soul follows close behind you. This Hebrew translation of follows close literally means to glue together, to join together, to adhere or be united with. And that's an awesome picture. Amen. That should be the picture of us, right? Adhering to my soul follows close to you. And then coming towards the end of this chapter, verses 9 through 11, David said, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So this is a really important part of this. David's deep communion and relationship with God that we've been seeing and talking about, listen, did not take away his problems. See? We see in the text, just because David was close to the Lord and loved him and relied on him and chased after him, we see that that doesn't mean his problems just vanished, right? His problems still existed. And some of you think, you know, sometimes we think, okay, like, I'm close with God, I'm where I'm supposed to be, I'm seeking after you, but this problem is still here, God, what's going on? And we see David here, this didn't take away his problems. He's still in deep, a problem. He's still facing a very big problem in his life. But the important thing is how did he treat that, right? What did he do with that? And he put his problems in the Lord's hands. And that's the important thing, right? David, by faith, we see, called himself king because that was the promise by God, and he trusted it. He didn't see it, right? He didn't see the fruit of that in that moment. He didn't see that coming to fruition. He didn't see that relying on the Lord was going to change his problem in that moment, but he still trusted God. He said, whether I live, whether I die, God, I need you. You're the one I want. And so sometimes we can worship the solution to our problem rather than worshiping the Lord, you know? And we can say, God, I'm going to worship you right now because stuff's not really going well, because I need you to kind of fix this. And once you do, great, I'll see you next time when this happens or this happens. And it's a wrong way. And imagine if we did that in a relationship and just went when we needed something, right? Do we really want the comforts and the smoothness of life, or do we really want Christ? Do we really want everything to be fixed and all my problems to be taken away and for me to not have a single worry, or do I really want Christ more? What is it that I want today? What is it that I love? And David loved God. David needed God. David relied on the Lord. One of my favorite verses in all scripture, Romans 15:13, says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the highlight in that verse, as you trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And that's a promise to us, all joy and peace. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard, and I can never forget that verse, because I think you don't know how big hope is until you've been at a place of hopelessness, right? And personally in my life, I've been at that place multiple times, and going from a place where you do not even have hope for the next day, right, to being filled with all joy and peace and abounding in hope by the power of the Spirit, right, the same power that raised Christ that is in us, right, that unites all of us today. That's who we are. That's a promise. That's who we are. But that's the hinging point as you trust in God. As you trust in God, there's that part on us, right? Am I going to trust in God, or am I going to trust in my situation being, you know, what is it? Am I trusting God, or is it something else? And he said, everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And what is it that you swear by today? What is it that you hold close? What is it that we trust? What is it that you trust this morning? Because remember, like we talked about, you're either in one camp or the other. You can't halfway trust the Lord, because he says, I want all of you. Let go of yourself. If you try to save this life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. And it takes us genuinely believing that that is a better life, giving up my life because of Christ, because of the call of Christ, because of the sacrifice of Jesus and his love for us, right? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And sometimes it's, you know, I've been in places in my life where I didn't quite understand the love of God, and it was genuinely because I didn't really know Jesus. Because when you really know Christ and his love, it's transforming. You're never the same, right? It's a love that makes you say, God, here I am. Here's all of me. And we see it here in this psalm, and I love this psalm because you just see David's cry in his heart. And really, when we really relate and can kind of look at the context of what he was facing, this is very powerful, very big. Finishing up, six things I want to leave with us this morning, six things to think about, six kind of questions that maybe can help me grow in the Lord. Six things. Number one, am I seeking God on a regular basis? Really practical. Am I seeking God on a regular basis? Is it a one-time thing a week, or am I genuinely seeking God? Making it a regular habit. How are we going to get good at something if we don't make it a regular thing? How are we going to make it part of our lives if it's just something we do once a week or a couple times here and there? Am I making that a regular a thing? Number two, am I praising and worshiping God? Am I genuinely praising and worshiping the Lord who's given me life, who's given me the greatest gift, right? Who's saved me? Three, am I finding my satisfaction in God? Am I genuinely satisfied in God? Or am I satisfied in God, but also satisfied in this place or this person, or when I get this or when I get that? Or is my genuine satisfaction in the Lord? Four, am I experiencing God's power in my life? God said, he made it this way, that the direct way for us to gain power was through prayer. He said, come to me and I'll fill you. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Are we going to God? What a beautiful gift that we can just talk to the Lord because of Christ, that we have that relationship. It's something I take for granted, but am I receiving the power God's given me, right, in Christ? That same Spirit that raised the Lord from actually being dead back to life is in me. And am I experiencing that? Am I leaning on that? Am I saying, okay, I'm weak myself, but that's okay? And it's really a process of unlearning, right? If we've trusted, my first part of my life, learning how to only trust me. And if I can't do it, then I can't do it. And it's about what I can do. And it's really a process of unlearning how to trust what I can do, and trusting, okay, I can't do it, but God can. And so here I am, God, and going forward in it. And that's the pattern, right? In my weakness, he is strong. But if we don't genuinely believe that, we're not going to really walk in it. If I genuinely, okay, it's a nice verse, but it's a nice thing, God, but if I can't handle it, then I'm not going to go for it. You cannot live like that. That's not how God's called us to live. So, accept this power that God has for you. Accept that, okay, it's not about me. It's Him in me. I can do this. I'm going to step out. I'm going to try this. I'm going to serve. I'm going to speak to this person. I'm going to go there. I'm going to stay consistent in this, whatever it is. Number five, am I meditating on God and His revealed word? So important, right? God's word revealed to us, God's word given to us, this the Bible. Am I spending time in God's word, right? Because without it, we have nothing. It's how God's spoken to us, it's how He speaks to us. And so am I valuing the Bible? Am I valuing the word of God? Am I spending time in it? Am I studying it? Am I you know, memorizing scripture? Am I making that, okay, taking my thoughts captive? This is how I feel, but this is what truth is. And am I looking through my lens, right? That can be swayed, right? My feelings, my lens, okay? Or am I saying, okay, but this is what truth says? And no matter what my eyes think or my eyes feel or my eyes see, this is truth. This is the truth. And reminding myself of that, right? Because even if you don't think so, your mind, the enemy can play with your mind, and you can start to believe things that might not be true. And just because you feel it and believe it doesn't mean it's right, or doesn't mean it's true, or doesn't mean it's the way to go, right? And number six, am I trusting God? Am I trusting God? At the end of the day, it comes down to trust. God, I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know why, but I trust You. I trust You. And the more we trust God, the more we build trust, and the more we'll love Him. I know we got out of Mark and where you guys were, but I hope that was spoke to some of you. I hope you can take something from that, and really just what I am doing in this, you know, really a self-reflective, and ask the Lord, are there areas where I need genuine love for You, Lord? Is there areas where my discipline is lacking? Is there areas in my heart that are focused on lesser things, right, that are pulling me away from You? And just asking God, being real with Him, you know. I pray that this, His word today, you know, speaks to us, and we leave here thinking about it and questioning and going to Him and growing. So let's pray, and we'll be on our way. Lord, we're so thankful for Your word, God. I know without a doubt that even a few minutes in this incredible word You've given us can literally change our entire lives. There's power in Your word, and I pray that we would never downplay it, or never, you know, we hear it, we read it, and we have it, but some people don't have it. Some people would do anything to have access to Your scripture, God. So thank You that we can gather and just spend a few minutes in a specific text that that is really life-changing, Lord, and that there's power in Your word. And I pray that these words just wouldn't be words we read and hear, but God, for all of us, that it would come into our minds and challenge our hearts, challenge our beliefs, challenge our desires, and that among it all, we would desire You more, Lord, that we would love You more, that we would seek the people in our lives that are there for us and that care for us and that would tell us what we need to hear, even if we might not want to hear, or that would encourage us consistently, God, and that we'd be people of discipline. It's easy to do something for a day or a week or a month, but to stay consistent is something that is not really praised in our world or not really put on display, but it's one of the most valuable things, Lord. So I pray that we'd be people who are consistent in our love for You, consistent in our walk with You, and that we would be people of integrity, whether or not anyone's watching or anyone knows about it, God, that we would live our lives for you, knowing that one day soon we will see you face to face, and that what we did necessarily or where we went really won't matter, God, but really all that will matter is how we loved you. And if our love for you was real, God, so let us just be real. Let that love flow from who we are, our hearts, and that we would just be people who live more, less from our minds and our thoughts and more from our heart, and that we'd be the people you called us to be, and that you just grow us in all wisdom and strength and love. And I just pray for this church. I won't be here. I won't be back here for a long time, I don't think, but it was a gift to be here, Lord, and I'm just grateful for everybody and inviting me, and I pray that you would just bless this church, that they would continue in your word, continue in faithfulness, and we all lift up Reuben to you, Lord, and we're so grateful for him and how he's impacted so many lives all because of you and his love for you. And what a beautiful testimony that our walk with you can have such an impact on our children, the people around us, people from all the way from Vermont, you know, and what a beautiful thing. And it's all because of you. And I pray that thou would encourage us to chase our calling, be all in on what you've called us to, and do it with joy and have fun doing it. And we're just so grateful, Lord, and we praise your name today, and we just thank you for all that you're going to do here and going forward, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.